Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, your weekly dose of Porsche culture. With Tech Talk, Heritage, the Ren Builds playlists, along with a massive dollop of waffle, we'll keep you entertained. So subscribe now on any podcast streaming service and YouTube. Welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast. Welcome to episode 68. This week, I'm joined by the guys from Goldleaf Performance. So, as my 981 came and has kind of grown, I guess, in not popularity, really, but in terms of exposure, for sure, this year, the one thing that seems to be the focal point, really, well, two things, really. First is interior. The other one is the Goldleaf Performance GT4 RS intake system. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. You can hear from the guys, David and Martin, that founded Goldleaf, all about their kind of backstory. As obviously, you know, that's always the way with these episodes, right, is that we hear from the people behind some of these brands, and then we start talking about the technical side of it. So and what really pulls out in this is the difference between the run-of-the-mill, off-the-shelf carbon fiber and then something like this, totally different. Before that though, just a little catch up. This is going to be a much shorter intro than normal. Got quite a packed week this week. I changed roles, so I don't talk about my day job a lot, but I was at the Aviation Industry Awards. I was a finalist in the Aviation Industry Awards fairly recently, for the work I've been doing in STEM, in raising aspirations for people from disadvantaged backgrounds to get into engineering and STEM roles. So I'm very proud of that. That was a great achievement for me, but it was a lot of work to get to this point. So that's the day job on top of engineering. Also, and I mentioned as well, that this weekend on the Saturday, I'm going to be at Boxing Gas again for the Niners concept event, which is effectively Frank's sort of first foray into doing anything live. Up until now, it's been those of us that have been, you know, I guess selected for a Niners Unplugged episode, travel down to Boxing Gas, spend some time with Frank and Tom Horner, who does the shoots for those, and then get all the shoot done. It takes like an hour and a half to do, and then you're gone again. But Frank's Boxing Gas channel, the Niners Unplugged, has grown so much that actually, I guess he kind of started thinking about, well, there's something in here for people to enjoy in person. And, you know, let's face it, podcasts and live episodes and live events have grown massively in popularity over the last couple of years. When I started doing this, it wasn't really a thing. And then since this podcast has been up and running, we've done the Porsche in the Park episodes with Graham, who owns the Carrera GT and raced on 24 Hours of Daytona. That's ages ago. And again, with Hartech as well, with Barry Hart from Hartech, all about the M96 and M97 engines, bore scoring and a tech talk around that. That was really popular. That seems to forever be evergreen. And then obviously the Modifying Caymans episode of the Porsche Club Great Britain, that was live as well. So I've personally done three, and this will be my fourth, whereas this is Frank's first foray into it. So it's interesting. He, as he always is, Frank and I had a half an hour conversation on the phone yesterday or the day before, just kind of sorting out the final details for it and what he wants from me, really. So it's two episodes. There's going to be an episode that is ticket only, and I didn't realise this because I just didn't know at the time. The first one in the morning is ticketed only. That's completely sold out. That said, the one in the afternoon, is me, and it's me and Frank and Annabelle who kind of run Boxing Gas. We're going to take a bit of a look at my car again, which is cool. So go back over some of the things that I've added, including the Gold Leaf performance intake. And then we're going to sit down and have a bit of a chat as well. And I'll kind of lead the way on that one, that second half of the episode as well. So that, if you're on your way, or if you're planning to come along, that's what to expect. There's a morning episode and I can't share who the guest is. I wouldn't do that. Unless Frank does anyway. But yeah, in the afternoon, you'll see me as well. So, and that bit isn't ticketed. So fill your boots. If you're coming to that event, come and say hello. Yeah, I'll be milling around anyway, because I'm going to be there probably from mid late morning. Just to catch up with all the guys on site, at Auto Farm as well. I'll pop over and see those guys. They're lovely. And if you're coming as well, take the opportunity to go and see the Auto Farm guys. They're great. But what I will do as well is, I was thinking about this earlier on, when I was at work, I was thinking about, how do I feel about it? And I've had really awful sleep the last few days. Partly because I've got lots of new starters that were going to report to me. So I've got lots of kind of, check-ins to do and introductions to do. And that's, I always want to make a good impression as a manager and as a leader in an organization. I take those things quite seriously, that kind of people that work for me. I want to make sure that they have a really great experience. But also I knew I couldn't work it out. What was it about this live event on Saturday that's making me a little nervous and stopping me from sleeping? Because I've done it before, done three before, and particularly the one at Porsche Club Great Britain, yeah, it was complex. And Elliot and I, from Elliot Man Media, big shout out as always to Elliot, we had a lot to do because we were covering, you know, sound, film, lighting, you know, logistics of moving cars around, like a little bit of crowd control and making sure people's phones weren't on, you know, all sorts. And between the two of us, we cracked it. That episode's done, you know, again, for a small podcast or YouTube channel, 25,000-30,000 views now. So, and we both really enjoyed it. So, you'd think that the fourth time in, the nerves would have dissipated. But, and I kind of think I sussed it out. And I haven't told Frank this, but I will. It's the element of control. That's the bit that's kind of, I guess, created a sense of nervousness around it, is the fact that I'm on the Boxing Gas channel. This isn't Rengineering at the weekend. This isn't me kind of sitting in my comfort zone in my pocket with you guys that have been listening to this. You know, some of you might be new, but you know, I know some of you have been listening to, you know, the Rengineering podcast for a couple of years now. So I consider you guys my friends and, you know, home turf. But when you're kind of aware that it's a completely new audience and some people won't know who you are, and then you're the anchor for it as well, for at least part of the episode, I think that's the bit that's kind of that creates that sense of dis-ease or unease about it. So I am looking forward to it. I've just got to get into the zone, into that kind of presenter mode, which I can do. You know, I didn't do it sort of in the day job a lot as well. So I did a presentation this week to a few hundred people and that went fine. So I can do it. Just need to absorb myself, get in the pocket and kind of, remind myself that all performances, all, whether it's a presenter and you're just kind of turning yourself up to 10, you know, bringing kind of all of your personality out, or whether it's acting or on stage and singing on stage and things like that, is that people want the best of you. They want the kind of the most creative and the most into it and the kind of most absorbed. Nobody wants to watch somebody second guess themselves on stage. It's so obvious when someone's worried. So I just need to remind myself of that and then go for it on the day. I'm pretty confident that that'll be the case. But I'd like a couple of days decent sleep before it happens. That's it though. I'm going to talk next week about the Turbo S that's been released, the 992.2 Turbo S. And a few other things that have come up in the news. Before we get into the actual episode, as I said, this is a Gold Leaf Tech Talk. So it's a technical episode again. One of the things that we talk about towards the back end of the conversation, though, is about the importance of driver enjoyment. And if you're listening to this, I would imagine you're probably somebody that is in that space anyway, that You know, you don't drive a car to be white goods and to just get you from A to B. The driver enjoyment is an incredibly important part of it. And actually, I think it was Martin that said, was it Martin or David? I think it was David, actually, that referred to the fact that you've got all these senses and you start taking them away. And that's what's happening with modern cars, not even electric cars, just modern cars in general, is that unless you're lucky enough to get one of those absolute halo cars where they've, they've breached legislation because they can do that with a small number of cars and it's still within the tolerance of being able to go into production with them. That's what happens, by the way, is there's a high level of legislation for a brand, and only a small proportion of the cars are allowed to breach some of those things, but the vast majority, the Macans, the Cayennes, Taycans, all that sort of stuff, has to sit well within the tolerances to allow you to then to go to the extremes and some of the faster stuff like an RS. But actually, what it's going to mean is that as cars get more sanitized, I genuinely believe this as well, is that some of those older cars that are kind of just pre-super modern, so before haptic, before everything got completely digital, when the era where things were modern but they still had an analog dial, I think, and before, we'll see a lot more investment in the aftermarket, but not just the cheap consumer aftermarket, the kind of throwaway stuff that don't expect to last particularly long. But I think we'll see a whole kind of cottage industry spring up that will be about extracting all the performance out of those things and kind of making sure that people get to really exploit every bit of performance, because beyond that it starts to go, in my opinion anyway, you've got to have incredibly deep pockets to achieve that level of driver enjoyment that we're all chasing, right? Whether it's a £1,000 runabout and it's your first car and you put some lowering springs and some big wheels on it, you're doing all that stuff to personalize it, but to increase your driver enjoyment, which with us that are lucky enough to have achieved buying a Porsche, we're just doing the same thing but with a bigger budget. So here is the Gold Leaf Performance episode with Martin and with David from Gold Leaf. This was recorded at the Nürburgring, and then you'll hear right at the end where we start talking about going off and driving the car. There'll be a quick teaser of what the Gold Leaf Performance intake sounds like, but the full episode and a lot of my car, because I've obviously consequently gone and put one of those intakes on my car, you'll hear lots more about the sound from that. But anyway, enjoy Gold Leaf Performance, and I'll catch you back up at the end. Welcome back to the Engineering YouTube and podcast. Welcome to a special Nürburgring edition of a Tech Talk. I'm here with Gold Leaf Performance. Gents, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
For having us.
Good.
No worries. I first stumbled over your work on, I think it was either an Instagram post or a Facebook post, and I immediately got excited because you've developed something that I hadn't seen before, or I had. That's not true. I had seen a version of what you developed before, mm-hmm. but it looked really rough. What you've developed for the 981, it's as close to OE as I've ever seen. So before we get into this, though, but as you guys will always know, with any Tech Talks or Heritage, we do a bit of a talk around the individuals as opposed to getting straight to it. So Martin, David, if I start with you, Martin, what's your background? What's your technical background? Where did you start out?
Actually, we have quite a similar background.
Okay.
Because, we actually met in mechanical engineering
faculty.
In uni, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, uni. Cool. And where was this? Which uni?
Ljubljana. Yeah. University of Ljubljana.
Okay,
cool. In Slovenia. And then we also started a project of a formula student in University of Ljubljana in our faculty. Mm. We did that for two years.
Always together? You just like buddied up and you're like...
I was there for 2 years and David was there for, three.
No, so the thing is, with former student, we basically started the project in Ljubljana. So there was no former student before on University of Ljubljana. Mm-hmm. And I was basically the initiator, and as, let's say, a father of that team, I was present there in the background for some time more, but basically We were together on the first team, and that was basically kind of the a special team that got connected, I think, the most through all the years. I mean, the team still operates, but the first two generations were, first of all, like kind of the pioneers, and on the other hand, it was different with first two seasons, because there was basically nothing and everything had to be done, and like people had to really involve themselves into the project. So yeah, this is where we connected most.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
We were like kind of schoolmates or like uni mates.
Yeah.
For 3 years before, but this is where we got
That's
connected.
Where you got sort of close and thought, you know, like actually we're really enjoying working together and want to sort of develop this stuff.
Yeah.
So and what then, was he, so it was the formerly student, but what, where did the idea come to you about actually we want to do something?
Okay, then we like exited the uni and we went a separate ways.
Okay.
I was working in energetics field.
Yeah, and I was more into plastics. I was a CTO in a smaller company, and we were like making all sorts of stuff out of polymers. And but composites were always kind of part of my either hobby, either uni, either a little bit professional. But it was something that always kind of kept my interest, let's say. And this is something that then eventually when we started thinking of doing something like we did with Gold Leaf, really made important role, because you know we both had great interest in cars, we had interest in engineering, and then composites on the other hand, and like connecting the dots, what it's what basically brought to where Gold Leaf is at the moment and where it will also go in the future.
Yeah, and we also like seldomly went to track this together. We have the same philosophy about cars. They're made for driving, not just for looking at them. And then the idea for Gold Leaf, or particularly for the intake, came when the GT4RS came out. We're like,
That's what? Cool. I like forget anything else. It's just really cool.
That's cool. That looks cool. That sounds cool. What if there is a package, or there should exist a package, that you can have an intake sound with the manual, which you cannot have in the GT4. And that's the GT4. So we started thinking about how should we implement this.
And did then, you take a scan? Like, I've actually, I don't want to rush you, because I want to kind of sort of talk deeply about the conversation, but let's wind back a little bit to the start of Gold Leaf. Had Gold Leaf started at this point? You were thinking about developing the intake system, or had it been which one came first? The idea to do the intake and then the company, or which way around was it?
I think it came hand in hand.
Did it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, company means a lot more. It means like other products. It means everything that comes with it. But I would say, we didn't want to make a one-off product, like project. We wanted to, let's say, if we invest ourselves into it so much, why wouldn't we offer this to the market? This is then the obvious next step is to create a company and then everything around it. And I think, I could say that it came together.
And also we have visions for the future, but the intake is kind of a statement piece for our company, because we wanted to show the world what we can do from the start, so we can put our name on the map somehow. And for the future, we have a lot of other products or systems planned for Porsche and maybe even for other brands.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the start.
Take me back to the, so you've got a GT4 RS as a, okay, that's the vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through the kind of process, the steps you took as engineers to go from a, to seeing something you want to emulate or kind of mm-hmm. be able to offer to other people. Yeah. But that's is a huge journey from seeing something and going, yeah. right, we'll produce a, and the reason why I say, the reason why I say this again is because there are other products out there. I'm not going to run anyone else down, but what I liked about what Goldleaf have done is it looks factory, right? And particularly for me and my car, it's really important that if it's not OEM off the shelf parts from Porsche, it has to be as close as good as. So yeah, walk me through the steps that you took to go from kind of seeing something and then producing everything.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, the first step was like, we wanted to create like this emotional enhancing thing. I mean, no, the, with the newer cars, like this old sensations and sound and everything, like pure mechanical, let's say, experience is kind of disappearing. So this was something that we wanted to achieve with the intake. And yeah, basically how the engineering like roughly went is, well, we basically took two cars. We took a GT4 RS and the Cayman GT4 4 liter, so the newer version. We tore them apart, scanned both, and then from there on we were basically trying to, you know, put one over another and see how we could incorporate a design from a GT4 RS into a GT4. And obviously the greatest issue was the fact that the engine is completely different and the GT4 RS has a different in the first place engine, but then the what's most prominent there is that the plenum is different and the throttle body is facing upwards, whereas with GT4 the throttle body is facing to the rear of the car. Back of the car. So this meant that we had to design completely different air paths. So with the GT4 RS, let's say it's much, because it was made from the factory that way, the air path can be, let's say, more simple, or it was like designed to really work in this way. And with the GT4, we had some obstacles to get through, but.
Because you want to create, I mean, again, you guys all know much more about dynamics and airflow, but you want the smoothest, you don't want any big right-hand turns, you don't want any kind of blockages, you don't want the air to hit something and then have to be turbulent at that point and then slow right down. You want to create a nice path for it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then also, we just didn't want to be just beautiful, just functional.
Yeah.
Our main objectives were also that it has to look factory.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be fully reversible in a sense that you don't have to cut any of the structural parts.
Sure, yeah.
You have to keep your boot space.
Mm-hmm. This is all really hard to incorporate something that does all of that, right?
Yeah.
So this is basically this product differentiates from what is already on the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that it basically looks OEM plus.
Mm-hmm.
And works as such as well.
Yeah.
And then also water management. This was a huge role in the design.
Yeah. So by water he means like rain water.
Yeah.
Because with rain, like the system sucks in also the water droplets.
Yeah.
And you have to somehow divert the water path from the air path. So this was also quite a task, but this is why we're here at Nürburgring.
we're more testing.
Right? Yeah, we're not only have water, we also have
snow.
Snow.
Yeah, so again, watching this is going to come out in the probably June, July time, but it's currently the very late April here. And in the last 24 hours, we've had sun, rain, sleet, snow, hail, all within a few hours.
Everything.
So, yeah. It's a great testing opportunity, right? Because you get everything, get extremes of temperature and everything, but...
Yeah.
So let me take you back to, so your design, you've got some great design philosophy that really talks to me about, you know, I'm hearing a lot about, you know, it needs to be as OEM as possible. There's fluid dynamics in there. There's, you know, there's weather management. There's all sorts of stuff in there that's going on. But you mentioned about scanning the R4RS and the 4 liter. And was it SolidWorks you used, or was it what programs and platforms and things were you using to?
Depends. We used Katia, okay. V5, and SolidWorks as well.
Okay.
And this, like, we were, it depended really on different parts, because the whole intake is assembled out of 16 parts basically. Mm. So this meant that for parts that were primarily surface engineered, Katia is much stronger, and then then on the other hand, SolidWorks was working well for us for the simpler parts. Mm. And also, I mean, SolidWorks is very convenient because you have like everything kind of in one package, so you can do some basic renderings for, let's say, some presentations. You can do some basic fluid dynamics in it. So when you have everything stuffed in there, everything is kind of convenient. Mm. And also, I mean, SolidWorks is something that we are, let's say, kind of familiar with, because we worked already from the beginning, from when we started on uni. This is some, like, let's say, something that we first got into touch with.
Sure.
And then, of course, afterwards we got to know its faults and, like, its struggles with bigger assemblies and things like this. Mm. And let's say Katia is much more, much better for making surface parametric models.
So right.
These kind of things is, we were like a bit shifting.
Mm. So how long was it take? How long did it take to get that kind of the scale? You got the scans.
Yeah.
You started doing some design work. I mean, again, there's a big gap between doing some design work and having something you can even run, tests of, and, you know, initial design. You know, months.
I would say, like, altogether, it took us about half a year. I would say 6 months.
Yeah.
Because we had some issues as well, because not everything went perfect.
Of course.
Obviously. Yeah. And we made some prototypes, and we like installed them on a car and figured that this thing don't fit, or not fit as well as we wanted, or like that we had some collisions that we couldn't really predict. And this is what really made the process a bit longer.
Yeah.
You have to understand that we want to make a system that's going to be compatible also, that will be compatible with 981 Cayman and 718, and also with all or nearly all aftermarket plenums, throttle bodies and stuff. So
because what we figured out quite soon in the process is that people that are interested in this kind of modifications are the ones that already modified their cars.
Yeah.
So these were the customers that usually already had, like, I don't know, like a stroker kit, APD. Panel.
Yeah, exactly.
And basically the biggest issue was the club sport plenum, because it's so much bigger. It's huge, like, it's amazingly big.
And it's higher also.
It's much higher. So we already had, like, all the molds and everything ready.
Mm.
And then we got, like, a car that had a club sport plenum, just to test fit, and then was like, that's not gonna work. So back to scratch and modify everything once again.
Wow.
But I mean, you know, it was, I think this was the better way. I mean, because as I said, now when we got, like, more and more inquiries, it's people that already have modified their cars, and this is basically what, I mean, it has to accommodate their specifications, not just the stock specification.
So think about, let's talk about testing then. So you've got the GT4, is it yours, or do you own it together? What's the,
It's ours, yeah.
Okay, cool. And then, so you were using that as your road testing and you know, things like, the one thing of is things like, vibration testing, and, you know, obviously you get some kind of movement, right? And if everything's bolted on rigid, you're gonna get cracks all over the place, or So were you thinking about, you know, accommodating all that stuff? That's part of the testing process you went through, or how did that all work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, already, like, from the design point, we already try to like think into the direction that there will be some movements and that there will be like some creaks and cracks because of the fitment. But obviously it helped a lot to have a car where you could install it and try it. But we were quite successful from the design already regarding these noises and vibrations. But what we were not really all that, successful in design is that we didn't predict the sheer power of the suction that this engine produces. And this basically the vacuum or let's say the pressure drops when you open the throttle body really made much more impact on the cover that we did.
Deformation of the
Basically. And okay, it didn't crack or it didn't, but you could see that it was like when you floor.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Like the first prototype were just like collapsing a little bit because it was so much sucking. Yeah. And also because it was
vibrating. Yeah.
Vibrating. Right. And it was much louder.
Yeah.
Really.
Because the way the intake works, I mean, this airbag works is this, let's say, trumpet that go to the throttle body are directed towards the top cover. And this top cover has like quite a big planar like
surface area
on the top that basically all the pressure drops and the airflow is basically directed towards it. And it works basically as a big membrane. And this is what makes this induction noise so prominent.
Yeah.
I mean, afterwards we'll have a drive and we'll see what I'm talking about. But this was something that really surprised us. And we didn't think, because we thought like, okay, we made like a solid actually composite element. And it was like also reinforced and everything with the design. But we're like, oops. That's too loud. That's too much.
This is interesting, right? So if you're watching this and you're thinking about buying a Gold Leaf intake system, you're probably doing that because you either want performance or noise or a combination of the two. Now, anyone that's heard the 4RS, it's intoxicating, right?
Yeah, last couple of hundred RPMs, that zing, it's...
And did you, when you were, I guess, going into this, some of that was, that's what you're aiming for, right? You want to be able to capture that.
Yeah.
How close were you on the first go of going? Because obviously it was too loud, but did you... I know I'm an emotional guy, right?
Yeah.
Noise, I'm less bothered about power. For me, it's the noise and the emotional connection to the car. I think if I'd have gone out and heard that right next to my head, I'd have been just jumping around. Yes!
Yeah,
we were
smiling for 1 hour straight.
I bet, all that hard work, because it's a lot of work to get to even to a prototype, right? It's hard to get there.
Yeah, that's true.
So that first installation, and even if you had some issues that you needed to work out, which I'm sure you were expecting, right?
Yeah.
You didn't expect it.
No,
of course. That's not likely, so
And then, when we got this issue, we actually reinforced the top part with
there were a couple of iterations and defining the first thickness of this core material that we put as a reinforcement, and also the material itself. So one thing that maybe it's quite interesting for somebody is that we used cork as the core material,
right?
Because it has really good damping properties. So yeah, that's something that
that's interesting
that, that came after like after a couple of iterations. This was, let's say, the best or that made the nicest note.
What did you try? What else did you try? You obviously have your polymer background, and you try polymers, right?
Yeah, I mean, you always first try with like this common core materials like Arex, and then you tried. I mean, you have different depth densities of that Arex,
of course, yeah.
And then one thing that we were like trying is maybe to incorporate rubber, but I mean, this is still one kind of a post prototype iteration that is still kind of in development. Is trying with different rubbers, because also with rubbers you have different hardness. I mean, like how stiff the rubber is.
And if you think about it with rubber, for example, you know, exposure to heat over a duration of time, you can get plasticity that happens with rubber. Yeah. So you know it's fine for year one, but you don't want to sell something in year five, it's not coming back to you. You want to be the customer to be happy for the long run, right? So if there's going to be testing that takes a long time to kind of dial
for that sure, way, right? For sure. I mean, this is why in the automotive industry, I mean, you have like pre-productions for 2 years in advance.
Exactly. So how many were, in fact, I was going to go into how many you've sold, but, and how kind of what the expansion is looking like, but talk to me about the composite production, because were you doing that in-house or did you have a company that you were working with to do the...
No, we do it in-house.
Do you?
That's
pretty rad.
Yeah. But like we go from... like beginning till production, till
really?
Finished piece.
That's really unusual, right? Normally these things, you'd have somebody that's really great at the design phase and then they hand off the, I mean, that's what I'm doing with my car, right? The Red 550.
Yeah.
I've got a company, because I don't work in composites at all.
Yeah.
So there's a company that's partnering with me to kind of do all that development work, because that's where they work. That's their,
that's their thing.
But you're in-housing it.
Yeah. Actually, the way in-house.
Amazing. For the future, we will see. But as what's our idea is, or let's vision about the Goldiff, is that we want to make basically engineering products. Mm-hmm. So not just like aesthetics, not just something that you can basically buy off eBay, but to add this engineering component to it. Which
I could tell that straight away, the difference, because I'm massively cynical. You see stuff, there's things that are produced all over the place, and more often than not they're not fit for purpose. They look good on a in a picture, but you know, they're wobbly or they're and I wouldn't put any of that stuff in my car.
Exactly. And it's something that also, I mean, let's say we're living in kind of Western world, like in Europe, and it's something that it can be easily replicated and, let's say, sourced from Asia. And I'm not putting Asia in like down in any way. I'm saying more that the fact is that nowadays Asian products are getting really good and actually very high quality. And this is where engineering comes to, let's say, play, because if you do something on your own, it's your basically your own product and you're not like replicating something. So that's something that gives, let's say, the possibilities are and opens like big possibilities for future.
So let's talk about that then. So let's make the assumption that the plenum's done and you're kind of it's perfect, they're all going great. What next? What's happening next? What are you working on right now that you can talk about that you're kind of
excited? We have to finish the lineup of the air discs, obviously. And then other plans are like structural parts, maybe suspension parts. We won't go into too much detail, but that's the general direction
aiming to. I mean, to be honest, making everything in-house, I think short term our primary goal is to optimize the production,
of course,
because this is something that, I mean, let's say product that is made out of so many items, it takes like every item is a story of its own. So you have, if you want to make it quick and at the highest quality possible, you have to really it takes time for each and every product, so I mean item. So this is something that I think in next couple of months, this is something that we'll be pushing further and In the meantime, some of these structural parts are already
being done. also thinking about like outsourcing some of the process, but we are very big on quality control.
Scaling is the hardest thing for a company, right?
Yeah.
Because if you guys, you both can accept the responsibility for your produce, the other parts that you produce, the dispatch, the liaison with a customer to install it, you know, you're there all the way through. But the moment you go, I'm going to give some of that to somebody else, you don't have control, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it's really depending about risk on somebody and whether you'll have to accept the risk of that thing happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the hardest thing, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, I mean, it's basically the biggest, let's say, mental stress for us at the moment, like how to scale properly, because we don't want to like scale too quick. And then again, we have to scale because otherwise, I mean, it's just us working day and night, you know. So
is it really? You kind of fly out constantly on it?
Yeah.
Currently, we're three people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And three people working how many days a week? Four.
Seven
days a week, really. Yeah, all in.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. Okay, cool. Where did Gold Leaf come from anyway? Where's the
Oh, that was funny. We were talking back and forth, I don't know, for a week.
Like, how should we
trying
call
to figure out a name?
Mm.
And then we were both F1 fans from the old years. You know that the Gold Leaf team
Colin Chapman,
was on Formula One lineup.
Great
name, and you were like, oh, it's not that bad of a name. So
it's a great name.
It's a great name.
And I was kind of surprised that it wasn't taken already. I was like, really? Is that free?
We were also like a bit like, because it was really actually nowadays it's really hard to get a free, let's say, internet domain for something. We were amazed. It took us so long to basically actually find something. We were like, wait, why not?
I mean, it's much better than Rengineering. It's like, I get it. I came up with the name, but it's a hybridization of two words to try and create something that's unique enough I could get a domain name for.
Yeah.
You guys, if I'd come up with Gold Leaf first.
And also the icon, the actual Gold Leaf is Lipa. That's actually, how do you say?
Like,
autochton. It's like... it's like a tree that's
only
specific to Slovenia.
So it has this shape also.
So it's kind of representing your origins.
A bit. We're not too patriotic, but a bit. I mean, we wanted to incorporate this as well.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, we're coming from, I mean, that comes from where we come from.
Perfect. Have I missed anything? Is there anything that we've talked that I've not talked about that you want to really talk about particularly?
I mean, I guess we covered most of it. I would like to stress out just that for the future, I think like where all this automotive industry is going, I think that. Improving or so modification on the cars that will improve the sensations and driving experience is something that will be more and more valued. And also I think that, you know, that the automotive, let's say for us that are car nerds, there will be basically, I mean, two ways where this world will go. One will be just pure commuting, which will probably be autonomous and electric or whatever. And then there will be, you know, this, let's say, driving experience kind of way where older cars will be modified or there will be a loads of more resto mods and things like this.
Yeah.
So obviously Gold Leaf wants to be on this band. And this is what we want to push forward. And there was one thing that got to realization is when I was at the Goodwood Revival, is that there is still a great community around like this, and that there is a mass of people that are interested in this. But it's also on us that are, let's say, active right now, and that we still have, let's say, kind of ways or possibilities to engage with these older machines.
Yeah.
That we like take this to another generation. That we it's on us. It's our basically responsibility.
Yeah.
We have to like show the youngers that this is something that is nice. It's not a bad thing. Yeah. It's a cool thing. It gives like really good emotions. It teaches you a lot. And
And you know what? And the thing for me is that if you drive something that's very clinical, like a Tesla,
yeah.
They're great at what they do, but there's no emotion attached to driving a Tesla at all. It is that they are a tool to do a job.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is driving enjoyment, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, human being has like 6 senses. Mm. And if you take smell, noise, vibrations away, like what? There's just 3 left.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fulfill you in a way that, let's say, a manual car, like mechanical car does.
Yeah.
So that's something that, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
A bit of philosophy, but.
No, I love it, right? And it's great talking about the brand. It's great talking about the development of the products, but actually it all comes down to human emotion. And if you don't capture that, what's it all for?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that, like, I see cars are not going away anytime soon, especially now with the development of synthetic fuels, and maybe hydrogen. I think the future is going to be a mix
The way I see it, it's like, I mean, we could do an analogy with let's say a horse carriage, like 100 years ago it was a means of transport, and now it's basically more or less a hobby. I mean, it's still here and it's not going away.
Cool. So there's only one thing to do at this point, and that is to switch over to actually go and have a look at it. I guess B-roll of the actual system. Hopefully you'll send me some technical drawings, like not technical drawings that you can share, but stuff, brochure stuff.
Yeah, we can.
And then we'll rig some mics up, take a look at it, and that's what you want to see, right?
Yeah.
So let's go.
I do hope you enjoyed that episode. The guys, I've got to know them really well over the last sort of year, 18 months of their work. Gone on to see them produce. We talked a bit about what they're planning to produce, but we've seen, you know, some quite amazing kit from them so far. So lovely aero discs, and even the back of the aero disc. Because I mean, like, the back of the aero disc is nicer than most of the Chinese carbon you get, and that's the stuff that's not even visible. And I can, you know, testament actually to me installing the Goldie Performance Intake Kit. Everything that you don't see is as good as the stuff you do, and that is what real engineering is about, is taking it all seriously and making sure that the levels of production for everything you do are just as good, whether someone's able to see it or not. If you're going to be at Boxing Gas this weekend, I will see you there. I'm not planning on wearing anything branded for obvious reasons, because it's Boxing Gas's event, not an engineering event. But I'll be there. Come and say hello. If not, then do look out for the episode on the Niners Unplugged channel on YouTube. The audio from that will go on this channel, so you'll probably, I don't know if you get to hear both episodes, because obviously I won't feature in the first one in the day, but you'll definitely hear the second one. So I'll see what Frank feels about that. We get on so well these days that I wouldn't at all be surprised if he's happy for me to put both out, because he doesn't have an audio only podcast. And this is going to be the first foray into me, Paul Myer Rhodes, and Rengineering being connected in some way to Boxing Gas formally. How that goes in the future, don't know. Would I love to be a Niners Unplugged presenter if Frank's not around or Annabelle's not around? Yes, absolutely. Of course I would. I've told Frank that lots of times. I'm more than happy to step in at any point and just cover. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. If you think that's a great idea, ping Frank a message and tell him. DM him. Spam the hell out of him. And as always, you can be on Your Porsche Stories. Drop me a DM at the Rengineering Podcast or at rengineering.uk. or info@rengineering.com. Head over to rengineering.com as well. There's lots of new stuff going up on there, loads of new photos from the press shoot and a new press page. But if not, I will see you very soon. Hope you have a lovely weekend, and take care for now. Bye bye.